Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
This is Discovery from the BBC, and I'm Gaia Vince. Welcome to the Anthropocene, the geological age we've made. Half of us live in one of the world's great urban sprawls, the concrete and glass habitats we create for ourselves. Our cities have spread and replaced wild lands, and they roar and blaze with the energy from fossil fuels. They're colossal and sometimes magnificent. But how substantial are they? Will they stand the test of geological time? Think millions of years from now. Global sea level will be many metres higher. Mighty cities will be abandoned and some will drown as the sea invades. Below the surface, sands and muds will begin to smother the urban remains. Layer after layer after layer. Ever deeper burial. Compaction. Fossilisation. What would a fossil metropolis look like to a geologist of the far future? What evidence of humanity's history might she or he find? Of our civilization and technology? Of our power to transform the world?
It isn't threatened by the destructive power of a warming planet.
Geologists divide up the Earth's history into periods and epochs, with names like the Jurassic and the Pleistocene. These time zones started with profound global changes, climatic and biological transformations which now reveal themselves in the rocks that were forming at those times. Already in this series, scientists have argued that the many changes we humans have made to the Earth in the last 200 years mark a similar planetary shift, that we've launched a new chapter in geological history, which they call the Anthropocene. The traces of our cities, our technology, and quite possibly remains of ourselves will also stand as evidence for these new times. One of London's underground tube trains. Its tunnel runs through clay formed in a tropical sea 50 million years ago. I'm on my way to meet urban geologist Simon Price of the British Geological Survey. My destination's the historic heart of London, a melange of a buried Roman city, plate glass modernity, and the great stone cathedral of St Paul's.
It's quite an incredible skyline that we've got around us. All these artificial materials created by people. A whole mix of building stones that we see in St Paul's. A whole mix of concrete, of steel, of glass. We're absolutely surrounded by it, forming this fantastic skyline. As well as the things that we can see above the ground, we have a whole record, layer upon layer, of older versions of the city. So it's not just the kind of things that we can see around us on a day-to-day basis. So we have that layer upon layer of older versions of the city. And interlaced with that, we also have modern versions of a network of sewers, of pipelines, all the kind of infrastructure required to support the functioning of a city as well.
So we've already been building up these sediments over the centuries, and now we're producing a much more artificial symbol than the stones and the woods that the Romans would have used.
Although we're creating all these artificial materials, they're actually made up of some pretty basic geological ingredients. So humans are actually very, very good at digging things out of the ground, processing them, manufacturing them, and then actually using them to create the fabric of the cities that we see now. And they've also done that in the past as well.
We're used to seeing remains of cities that have been abandoned going back hundreds, even a thousand years. But if we look ahead 10 million years or even 100 million years, are we going to get any signs left in the rocks?
There will be a signal, but I think those signals and those clues might be subtle. One good way of looking at that is actually if we look at the geological record, most of the rocks that we see are actually deposited in a marine environment, because in a marine environment we get a very good chance of preservation. We don't see that many rocks deposited on land. The problem that we've got with cities is that a lot of them are developed on land, So they're very susceptible to getting hit by the weather, weathered away, eroded away, and there's going to be very little trace of them. Somewhere like London, where you have cities developed on the coast, very close to sea level, it actually increases the chance of preservation. So we're in with a chance, actually, if we're somewhere near the sea.
And the coastal cities with the best chances are the ones built on parts of the Earth's crust that are being pulled ever so slowly downwards by the forces of continental drift. Jan Zalashevich of the UK's University of Leicester.
Amsterdam and New Orleans, they are on a piece of crust which one can say is on a downgoing tectonic escalator. It is going down long term, over hundreds of thousands and millions of years. So those cities will drown, probably rather faster, because we are also causing sea level to rise. That is just beginning, and that will likely go on for centuries and millennia. So something like a New Orleans will be preserved as a type of rock layer made of brick and concrete and asphalt. And we make, of course, concrete out of sand and limestone. We make bricks out of shale. We make glass out of silicate sand. Eminently geological materials. The buildings will collapse into a mass of rubble, and those will be rather more chaotic, but nonetheless very clearly different strata, different to anything that's gone before, because they're made of glass and steel and bricks and concrete. And some of those will preserve almost without change. Concrete is like a sandy limestone, so that probably has very good preservation potential. Glass will probably go milky. It'll turn from being a supercooled liquid into a finely crystalline solid. Metal will probably rust and dissolve away, but leave a hole where it's been.
So geologists would see this and it would be completely novel as to anything that had gone naturally before.
Yes, it's very different. And in places it will be quite a substantial stratum. One can imagine New Orleans leaving something that is metres or maybe tens of metres thick. And bits of New Orleans, of course, the pilings which cause the skyscrapers to stand upright in those muds, they go down for 50, 70, maybe 100 metres. So this is chunky, complicated stuff, as you said, very, very different from anything that's gone before. So any geologist finding that will immediately know they're onto something rather special and rather different.
When we think of geology, one of the things that we look for is evidence of creatures. And sometimes we look for the actual bodies of those fossils, and sometimes we look for the evidence that those fossils were moving around. We look for evidence that those creatures were feeding. And they're called trace fossils. So, in effect, what we do as we burrow beneath the ground, creating our tube stations and our sewer networks, is we're almost like those creatures, and we call that bioturbation. So, effectively, we're almost like human bioturbation in the subsurface. So, it might be those trace fossils, like we see in the geological record, that we might detect into the future. Somebody might, in millions of years' time, be able to say, well, this might have been a network underground for people moving from one place to another. You might be able to say, if we think of the case of basements, and basements getting rapidly infilled with sediment, you might be able to say, well, humans might have lived here. Types of evidence, not only that we were here, but actually what we were doing as well.
The strata of our geological time won't only contain traces of where we lived. Rocks of the Anthropocene epoch will also bear testimony to what we manufactured, consumed and discarded.
There are quite a large, further along this large piece.
Oh, there's a bit of pottery, I think.
I'm beachcombing on the banks of the River Thames with geochemist Chris Vane of the British Geological Survey.
That's iron, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a piece of iron.
We find dozens of industrial materials and domestic objects in the mud and silt.
Oh, look at this. It's a pill holder of some description.
They're in the process of being buried in the river's sediments, on their way to becoming part of the Anthropocene record.
We're here on the south bank of the Thames, standing on the foreshore near the Tate Modern Gallery. And the sediments which are beneath our feet are very interesting to me because they contain a record of London's history right back to Roman times. And within the sediments that are beneath our feet, there's a chemical record that's contained within them. The Thames sediments are very special because they are very rich in clay and silt minerals. They're sticky and they stick the chemical components which enter the river. So the Thames has a fantastic history preserved in the sediments, like little chemical fossils. And those chemical fossils have changed through time as London's history has developed.
Is there a time when you can really point to where the sediments show a much more human presence here in this part of the Thames?
Yes, we can see a big change that happens around about the time of the Industrial Revolution. From that point onwards, there's a large amount of pollution from coal, there's metals from things like mercury, zinc and copper. Those suddenly increase in concentration as we go from around 1750 upwards through into a peak around 1930s for example, coal.
But how long will this record last? I mean, is it going to be preserved in the rocks, say, 10 million years from now?
I think that there undoubtedly will be a chemical record of human activity. For example, some metals are present at much higher concentration than their natural background levels. There's a geological source of metals, but then overprinted on this man-made derived metals, raised levels of copper, zinc, mercury, which come from things like smelting and big industrial activities from the onset of the Industrial Revolution.
So they're going to leave their mark in the rock?
Yes, those are quite resistant to change.
Within those enriched layers of rock, there will be all kinds of materials which simply didn't exist in the eons of time before the human epoch. Jan Zalashevich.
It's a part of our human experiment with the materials, of creating substances which have not been formed naturally on Earth any time over the last 4.5 billion years. And these include a lot of metals, iron by itself, wrought iron. That will rust away at the surface, and underground it will probably dissolve away. But what intrigues me is what's going to happen to our special irons, our molybdenum steels made for oil rigs and drill bits and things like that. Quite how that is going to evolve once it's buried underground, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it will leave a fossil of some kind. And in some case, it might well leave the metal itself. And that, again, will be quite striking and quite different from any kind of natural pre-human geology.
If I was to get rid of my mobile phone and just throw it into a river, into the bottom sediments, would it create a nice artificial fossil?
It would make a lovely fossil. So if we take this phone, it's got a nice plastic case here, at the moment beautifully white and flexible. That will fairly quickly start turning black and brittle and carbonised, you know, as it's buried and heated a bit. But it will fossilise nicely, just as leaves and twigs do. The screen, glass, now that will crystallise over time, turn opaque, so we can no longer see through it. In the back of it, it has a weird and wonderful range of metals, unnatural metals, steel and rare earth elements in combinations not found in natural rock. So we'll become a bit of a geochemical as well as a paleontological treasure.
The chemical and metal-enriched sediment layers we're leaving behind are not unlike a thin geochemical feature which was created 65 million years ago when a large asteroid hit the Earth. That impact left a trace of extraterrestrial iridium dust all over the world, as well as causing global climate change and the extinction of 3/4 of all species. Sound familiar? As paleontologist Tony Barnosky, who we heard from last week, says...
Now, we're the asteroid.
But what, millions of years from now, will be preserved of us, the architects of the Anthropocene? Many of us will be cremated, and even bones buried in holes in the ground often moulder to dust. So our fossilised skeletons might not be that plentiful.
There are a great many of us, but we have complicated burial practices. They'll probably have better luck with, if you like, the more tragic events. One can imagine, for instance, gangsters in New Orleans getting rid of their business competitors and putting them in a concrete overcoat into the Gulf of Mexico, where their chances of being preserved are very, very good. And similarly, where there is war and strife, a lot of bones can be left in swamps or floating down rivers, that kind of thing.
How long humans will last as a species is anyone's guess. The average existence for a mammal species is 3 million years. We're mere infants in evolutionary time. But as we've heard during this BBC series, our impact so far on the planet's plants and animals, ecosystems, atmosphere and oceans will reverberate down many more millions of years to come. The last words go to geologist Jan Zalashevich of the University of Leicester and earth scientist Jim White of the University of Colorado, Boulder.
I don't think we can underestimate how big we are on the planet. The Earth has gone through a number of very large climate changes and very large species extinctions and very large changes in the fundamental operating of the planet. We're doing one of those today. I don't think it's altogether surprising. I mean, we are very intelligent beasts capable of really remarkable things.
What we have with the Anthropocene is that we're living through it. It is happening as we speak. It is in its early stages. Depending how it's defined, it might only have begun 50 years ago or 200 years ago or something like that. The big changes caused by humans occurred in that kind of time interval, and that geologically is nothing. It will almost certainly go on to develop different phenomena. For instance, sea level has barely started rising. Climate has only just begun to change. So it's how those unfold over time that will develop the true character of the Anthropocene.
So if humans have all died out and it's a geologist looking back, would they be able to tell that there was definitely a thinking, organised being that kind of managed the planet at this stage, and it wasn't just a natural climate change and it wasn't just a natural dying out of species, that there was some sort of organisational input from a super species like humans?
I think that would be very clear. If nothing else, just from the traces that we leave as human beings, the cities that we put on the planet are enormous. Yes, it'll be very obvious. I think the debate will be, you know, just how thinking was this species. If it was capable of doing this, why wasn't it capable of thinking through the implications? Why wasn't it capable of thinking through the adaptation and mitigation that needs to happen in order to sustain that species? If we're not still around, they will wonder, you know, what happened? What was it that they failed to do?
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. For details of them all, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.